Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Why do we feel the way we do today? It's the ultimate this or that. Is it the weather or is it the Islanders as team of the day? Marty?
Well, I got an Islanders flag on this side.
Oxford pennant.
Oxford pennant right behind me. So I will tell you it's the Islanders. The Islanders make you feel that way.
Which is so wrong. Not going to come out and pile on. Like, this team makes the playoffs a lot.
Yes.
They've made it 8 of the previous 13 years, and before stumbling down the stretch this year, had made it in 5 of the last 6. Why does everybody, present company included, why does everybody feel like they have to make jokes or pile on the New York Islanders?
Because they did it to themselves. It was the Cal Clutterbuck and Casey Cizikas and Matt Martin, who, by the way, finally, Matt Martin, he's retired. He is not going to be with the New York Islanders this year.
I think he is. Is he not hired by them?
Well, exactly. He's hired. He's not going to be on their roster, but he is part of the organization still. So you are 100% right. I just feel like with the Islanders, it was always that they got in the playoffs. Oh, they got to the conference finals again. Oh, but like there's nothing there to excite you. There's nothing there to, but they really do. Matt Barzal is one of the most fun player to watch. Like, he skates all over the place. He has no idea what he's doing on the ice half the time, or especially on the defensive side of the game. But he's fun to watch. He's got skills. They missed him last year. He only played in 30 games, so they really missed him. Mm-hmm. They got the number one overall pick in Matthew Schaefer, who may not play with them this season. Maybe he plays 9 games. Maybe he plays a whole year. Who knows what's going to happen there? They got one of the better goalie in Ilya Sorokin.
Are you emptying like all the Islander talk here in the first minute so
revisit this? I'm doing the surface stuff. I'm not doing the deep dive.
You're literally doing the headlines. Like,
and they got Patrick Roy as a coach. Like, Patrick Roy should like have eyeballs on him all the time. There's always entertaining ways to present Patrick Roy as a coach, a player, whatever. But it feels like the Islanders are stuck in this rut of, right, with everybody. And so it just falls that on a day where it's been raining, it's not raining anymore for most of Western New York now, so that's good. But the Islanders kind of bring it down a little bit.
Matt Martin is special assistant to the general manager. The general manager is Matthew Darche. Allegedly, the assistant GM is still Chris Lamorello. I wasn't sure where the Lamorellos...
I
wasn't sure where the Lamorellos were at organizationally with the Islanders, because I'm looking for a picture of Lou here to have some title that I'm not familiar with, and I can't find him. Is he officially not with them, or is he still an advisor?
He is officially not with them.
Okay.
That was funny when Lou and the Islanders parted ways, and then Lou was spotted at the Buffalo airport, so they're like, oh, maybe Lou's going to be an advisor to Kevin Adams. Lou Lamoriello was having a Nexus appointment, so that's why he flew into Buffalo to go to Niagara Falls. So, but Lou's not with them anymore.
He's in the fast lane.
He is in the fast lane. He's going to do his he's going to drive to scout all year just for himself because he's a hockey lifer. His son, Chris, you mentioned, the assistant general manager and general manager of the AHL team. He hasn't had a lot of success in his career. So I feel like this is Matthew Darche's, let's rebuild this organization into a top tier, even though they've had some success. You mentioned making the playoffs, but how about going for a cup here, putting the pieces together to go for a cup? And I think that's what Matthew Darche is going to try to do, what they did in Tampa when he was there for many years.
Well, Darche has Steve Pellegrini as an assistant GM. He has Ryan Bonus as an assistant GM and director of player personnel. And, of course, the coaching staff got a bit of an overhaul because they were so terrible, and that's the only word for it, on special teams last year, 31st in both disciplines. Patrick Roy now has Ray Bennett and Bob Bugner as assistants, that are new to the mix. Benoit Durocher is also an assistant coach there. So,
do you think the Islanders would have made the playoffs last year if it wasn't for their special teams being so bad? Because they were only 9 points out.
No. Maybe we can dissect it as the show goes on. The fact of the matter was their special teams stunk all year. And with a month left in the year, month left in the season, pardon me, they were 2 points behind Montreal.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like the special teams took a you-know-what and took them out of the mix. They were already terrible. They were already historically bad combined. Like, Marty, they're two special teams total. Don't even add up to 85%.
What?
That's not even possible.
Like an average, like you're trying to get to at least 100, right? You want a
minimum
20%
yes.
power play, 80% penalty kill, 100%.
Always.
So you're that's where you are. And if you get to 105, 110%, you're elite, elite. Mm-hmm. If you're 95 to 90%, that's rough. But if you're 80%, 85%, that's not even close to being like acceptable.
What's incredible is that they weren't the worst in either. Like you're sitting at 12.6 and they were 31st, and they were at 72.2 and they were 31st. Anyway,
That would be a good trivia question, and I know the answer, and I know you do because you probably have seen it, but you're like, who was worse than the Islanders on the power play and who was worse than the Islanders on the penalty kill? We've mentioned the Detroit Red Wings on
the
penalty kills, so Detroit
PK,
was terrible. But on the power play,
I think it was Anaheim, wasn't it?
Anaheim was, 11.8. So.
Which doesn't make any sense either based on some, you know, it never makes sense for any team to be that bad on the power play. Because every team can muster up a combination of 5 to 8 players that should know what to do on a power play. It's that simple. Like, there's no excuse for being that low. And yet, there they were.
I always feel that penalty kill is about schemes and about structure and about teaching, right? You can... this may be disrespectful to the best penalty killers that's ever played, but... the rule of thumb was always you can make somebody into a penalty killer. Like if you have a fourth line player that you're like, let's try him on the penalty kill. Like we're maybe that's some ice time for that player. As long as you're willing to block shots and really sacrifice your body. But we can teach you how to penalty kill. The power play has always been different to me. I know there's a lot that says, okay, there's structure on the power play. You got to practice the power play. For me, the power play is about skills and instincts. Knowing like where you should be, having that chemistry with somebody that you're going to, the Sedins, right? The Sedins on the power play. They knew where they were without even looking. That's the best, right? There's a chemistry to be had on the power play. The Edmonton Oilers, the skill level has to be there, but there's a chemistry. So I always feel like you don't really teach the power play. You just got to get 5 really good players and put them out there and let their skills shine. Well, I mean, if you look at the New York Islanders last year, I mean, who was really the skill? Like Barzal wasn't there. And then you end up with, you know, Anders Lee and Bo Horvat. And I feel like their skill level wasn't as high as you would want it to be for a power play to be top tier. And that's probably why they were 31st.
There's more than enough talent on that personnel. I mean, my goodness, Noah Dobson was on that team.
Yeah.
Like, and now he's not. And
he had a down year.
If you were, but it wasn't that bad.
No,
you know what
it
I mean?
Wasn't.
So
it was enough for Montreal to give up 2 first round picks to
good,
get him and Emil
Lineman. As they should. But if you were sitting here a year ago when the Islanders had made a miraculous run under Patrick Waugh to sneak in.
Yep.
But if you had said a year out after missing the playoffs, the Islanders are going to start a season without Brock Nelson for the first time since January of 2013, and they're going to be no longer employing Noah Dobson, would you honestly think that they're further along?
No. No,
but maybe that's what this hour will prove. Maybe they've made some changes to make us believe that they will tweak some of the shortcomings that you're offering. I know this instinctively. Victor Olofsson's first NHL goal was against the Islanders. Islanders are our team of the day. Victor
it was a
Olofsson
power play goal, right?
Because
he scored like 7 power play goals to start his career or something.
He's supposed to sign in Colorado. You can go to Puckpedia for all the info on that. So Victor's been moving around a little bit. The Islanders, of course. Oh, by the way, before I forget to drop this snarky little line. Oh. Has Patrick Waugh apologized to Anthony Duclair yet?
It has not been reported. It was rumored that there was going to be a conversation. But this, look, it is,
it's a terrible look. Like, why even go to a presser? Why answer someone in a press conference that you're going to talk to? It happened months ago. Do it then. Own it and move on. Why is this even lingering?
The whole Pete DeBoer thing with Jake Oettinger in Dallas. Like, 2 days later, I haven't even talked to Jake Oettinger yet. Like, it's 2 days later. You should. And you know you're going to be asked by the media, like, right, get it done or whatever. Like yeah, be proactive. And this was, but it is 2025. Like, these situations where coaches 20 years ago were basically ripping players a new one in press conferences, saying that player has been terrible, he's bad, and this, that, the other thing. He can't do that anymore. Or you, if you're going to do it, you better make sure that you have that conversation with the player beforehand and have communication. Communication is key. And it led to Anthony Duclair taking some time off afterwards and saying, I got to rethink things. And then now he should be on this roster and he should be given an opportunity to play top nine role, maybe middle six role with this organization. He still has the skating. He still has the wheels. They did add Jonathan Drouin, who, when healthy with Colorado, would perform well. But he was with his buddy Nathan MacKinnon, who they had played juniors together. Like, Jonathan Drouin with Nathan MacKinnon and Jonathan Drouin not with Nathan MacKinnon is two different things. So that's also another French-Canadian guy that Patrick Roy may rip a new one at some point this year, because I just feel like this has got potential for a nuclear explosion at some point.
Well, they added Maxim Shabanov as well out of the KHL. So perhaps, you know, in consecutive years here, they find something by going down this avenue. Obviously, Siplikov came in, maybe peaked a little early, but I think still proved himself to be an effective player for them. If Shabanov can do that as well, it adds to that middle six that you're speaking of, one that, you know, is like Matt Barzal over the last 3 years has basically missed one season in its entirety out of those three. Like, he's had, this is a lot, he's 76 games on the sidelines two of the last 3 years, right?
Yep.
And otherwise, we're talking about a guy who's around a point a game. So it's very, very, very hard to know, because you've never seen a full season of Barzal under Patrick Roy.
Yep.
You get the sense, and correct me if I'm wrong in this, but are the Islanders not still searching for a president or vice president?
I don't know that they are anymore, because the word was is that they maybe were going to employ Brendan Shanahan.
There were a lot
president.
Of names out there, huge names.
Yeah, and that Darsh was going to be the GM, but then they hired Darsh as the GM, and it's like, well, where are we going to find a president of hockey operations now when we've already hired a GM?
I don't think the two go hand. Honestly, I don't think they're married that way. One's hockey and one is. The reason I go down this path is I think the Islanders are turning a corner organizationally to try to do things differently and keep. Look, they have a super hardcore fan base, and that's been entrenched for 50 years.
Great fans.
Right. And they just need to, you're in an amazing market in New York. And I was just starting to feel like, hey, like maybe they're going to turn a corner here. And so we'll see how it goes, whether that does.
And I think the number one overall pick we know here in Buffalo, it brings the fans in. It brings the fans in. So you got to respond to that. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't know if Matthew Schaefer is going to play all season, a game or not. Like right now, I look at their defense and I could see, you know, they signed Tony D'Angelo. So it's like, okay.
No, he was already there.
Well, yeah, but he was already there, but he's now I look at him and he's maybe a top 4D, you know, maybe even a top 2D because Noah Dobson left. Like, you're looking Romanov. You got Pollock and Pelech are probably your 1 and 2. Romanov is probably 3, like D'Angelo. But if you're going to have your number one overall pick in Matthew Schaefer.
Romanov is 1, dude.
Yeah, I'm starting saying as a pair, like who's
okay, but
who's
he's starting an 8-year deal at 6.25. There's no one close. Like, he is clearly the guy right now until Schaefer gets his legs.
But Romanov and Dobson was clearly your number one pair, and now it's Romanov and who, right? You're like, who's there with him? So you're like Schaefer? Okay, let's put Schaefer and Romanov.
I think Schaefer's going to stick. I could be way, way, way off.
I think he's going to stick because for me, two things. One, the word was that if Matthew Schaefer was to go back to the OHL, it probably wouldn't be with the Erie Otters, that they probably would look to have him go to another organization and have him like have a lot of success and compete for Memorial Cup and all of that. So that was number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, there was word that, okay, well, if Matthew Schaefer is going to not play in Long Island, why wouldn't he go maybe the college route? Do what, you know, others have done now and gone the college route. But if you're doing that, you're not going to training camp and you can't play any games. And he hasn't done that, right? Because the colleges have already started their school year or close to. He's not doing that. So to me, it seems like the Islanders are saying, you're going to be with us at the start of the year, at least for 9 games, and then we'll make a decision. Because if not, he probably would have gone and gotten $500,000, maybe even $1 million to be playing college hockey somewhere on a big school.
Mm-hmm. Where I feel like you've used that 9-game window a lot with Schaefer, and I don't believe you think he's going to stick beyond that. Am I wrong?
I think it's going to be how he looks. This is a player that didn't play a lot last year.
Right.
You know, broke his collarbone at the World Juniors and ran into the post. The nets are always there, Matthew. You got to go around them.
Oh, this is amazing. David Riddick's there.
David Riddick, yeah. He pulled at David Riddick. David Riddick did not get hurt on that play. Matthew Schaefer did, but he didn't play a lot last year.
Yeah.
So he's coming back an injury. Like, how is that going to affect him? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you have guys like Gavin McKenna who decided to go to Penn State, making a lot of money. I'm like, for me, if the Islanders were expecting Matthew Schaefer not to be there to start the season, more decisions would have been made for his future. That hasn't happened yet. So 9 games and we'll see. But it will be about the 9 games because he hasn't played a lot of hockey last year to know where he really is at going into this, you know, his first year pro.
80 points for Matt Barzal, over, under.
I'm going to say if he plays at least 70 games, over. So that's the thing. Like, but last year, even though he played 30 games, he didn't perform at a point of game pace.
Right.
He was 20 points in 30 games. There was something clearly wrong with him, didn't go well, and then they shut it down. I think Barzal should be, for this team to be successful, 80 points and more. But last year, there's scoring leader was Bo Horvat with 57 points. Right. That has shades of Miroslav Shatan with the Sabres late 90s. Mm-hmm. He would lead the team with 52 points, but you had Dominik Hasek, which didn't matter.
Yeah, and Bo was close to 30 goals, right?
Yeah, well, he was 28 goals. Anders Lee was 29, so they didn't have a 30-goal scorer.
They had Simon Holmstrom move up to become a 20-goal scorer, so that was a nice development for them.
Yes. Yes, but it comes down to, you know, like 5-on-5, they were actually pretty good 5-on-5 this year.
Sabres were a little better.
But they were 50%. Like they were even Stevens across the board.
Right.
And shot attempts against, high danger chances, high dangers against, goals against. Like they were basically very 50-50 across the board. But they were 27 in goals for and 28 in goals against. Why? Because the special teams were so bad that it brought everything down. But 5-on-5, they were a decent team. That is what Patrick Waugh and Matthew Darche have to hope continues. If you can go from 31st in PK and PP and move yourself up to 18th and 17th, all of a sudden, I think you get 10 more points. And I think you get to 92 and you're competing for a playoff spot.
Yeah, they ended up finishing the year 500 at 35, 35, and 12. But as I mentioned earlier, with a month remaining in the season, they were 2 points behind Montreal and 5 points behind Ottawa. Those two teams end up getting in. The Islanders won three of their final 14 games. It's not unreasonable. Like, imagine if they had won six. They would have missed the playoffs by like 3 points. Yep. Like, it feels like they were nowhere close because of how poor the end of the year was, right?
They were sixth in a bad metropolitan division. When you look at the Metro, mm-hmm. I didn't feel like the Metro was good, but they were sixth in that division, which is not right. good.
Yeah. Well,
37, Duffer. That's the number, 37. Overtime or shutout losses for the New York Islanders over the last 3 years.
Oh,
they
yeah.
have more than any other, actually tied with the San Jose Sharks, but mm-hmm. they go to OT. Again, last year, 12, right? Overtime losses. That's a big mm-hmm. number, but like 37 over the last 3 years.
And technically no one listed as president within their organizational ranks. When Darsh came in, he did get executive VP title. But there's nobody else listed as a VP or as a president. Obviously, they have longtime, NHL guy, business guy, John Collins, you know, operating as co-owner to, you know, John Ledecky. So I am curious whether they, you know, still fill that role. And then again, my belief is that's not going to have as much of an impact on the ice. It's just, you know, how do we see the Islanders differently? What does their profile become? You know, can they ever kind of get back to that level where they're, I don't know. It's a strange thing to say for a team that has made the playoffs a fair amount, but I just don't think a lot of people talk about the Islanders. And
they don't. You got the New York Rangers right there, who are the polarizing Rangers. They were bad last year. We'll talk about them tomorrow. They were bad last year.
Oh, it's Chris Drury's birthday. We're not going to talk about them today?
Tomorrow. I haven't done my homework on them, so I'll do it tomorrow. We'll say happy birthday, Drew, and that's it. That's all you get today. Positive today, negative tomorrow. That's the way it goes.
Balance. It's our middle name on Sabres Live.
The Islanders are in a market where you got to be flashy to a certain extent, right? So, you know, the Islanders are right there to the Rangers. There's so much going on over there. Even that Metro, like the Devils, were mm-hmm. on the other side of Manhattan. But the Devils are a team that have the
Hudson is the body of water you were looking for there.
Yeah, but like one is on the east side of Manhattan and one is on the west side of Manhattan.
No, when you mentioned the Devils is what I was saying.
And the other side of the Hudson.
Other
yes.
side of the Hudson. Yes.
But I'm just saying, like, the Devils are
geography major over here. About. No.
Yeah. You know what?
Where is Ilya Sorokin? I don't mean geographically, physically. At the
I don't track him. I don't know.
Like, I think it would be a surprise to some who saw the Islanders from afar, saw them not make the playoffs. Would it not surprise some that he ended up sixth in Vezina voting?
No.
No? Like, no. Yeah, I know what his body of work is, but like, it wasn't like a, hey, here's a season to remember kind of 82-game run. Oh.
It wasn't a season to remember. And the
or
biggest
is this more
question,
of an indictment on goaltending across the league that he still ended up sixth because nobody
he's
else...
He's still at a .907 save percentage, which is above meh. Average, right?
Meh.
It's a meh, but his goal save above expectation was a top eight, I think, top seven in the league. So he faced some good quality shots. I think the big question in the crease is where's Semyon Varlamov? He had knee surgery in December. Will he be ready? They signed David Redick, but it's been that Sorokin-Varlamov tandem for years now. Mm-hmm. You'll be intrigued and to find out. I had a long conversation with Shayna Goldman this morning because she's doing some stuff with the Athletic and, you know, we're talking goalies. And I still have Ilya Sorokin. So the top four in the league right now, goaltending-wise, to me, are Hellebuck, Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, Bobrovsky. They're like, I feel like they're in a category to themselves, those four. The next guy on my list was Ilya Sorokin still. I still think Sorokin is the next group, right? You got the top four, the big four, and then Sorokin. He's along with guys like Ottinger and Allmark or whatnot, but he's the leader of that next pack.
Yeah, I would agree. He's better than Ottinger and Allmark, right?
Yes.
What number does he wear?
Sorokin is 30.
Yes. Look at you. We tried to prove yesterday.
Billy Varley is one, right? Semyon Varlamov may be one.
I didn't look at that. No, he's not. He's 40.
He's 40. Yes. He may have worn one before, maybe with the Washington Capitals or something.
Oh. You want to remember some of the names that also played for them last year in the crease?
Yeah, they had a guy that got called up from the East Coast Hockey League last year.
Tristan Lennox.
Tristan Lennox, that's who it is, yeah.
Marcus Hogberg was there for a little bit, too.
Hogberg's a big goalie.
Huge goalie, yes.
So Varlamov was number one in Colorado and one with Washington.
They have a bigger one, though, listed on their roster. Henrik Tikkanen is 6'9", 204.
Yeah.
He's from Loja, Finland.
It was Eric Bolton's birthday over the weekend. I went and had a drink with him. We talked about it.
Is he still on the payroll with the
Islanders? He's an amateur scout. Now, he went from the pro side to the basically covers the OHL and the region and whatnot. But he was talking about that big goaltender and how he's like a massive, but he moves well too. Like, that's one of those. They were really excited about him. You're that tall. They don't move so well. Like, remember when Ivan Fedotov of the Flyers first made his first start with Philly and he stepped on the ice for his solo lap? And I'm like, the guy can't skate. Well, let's find out. He's having a tough time stopping pucks too.
We will get.
Is that too harsh?
We're going to get to Philly eventually here. Yeah. How many days away? Not this week, obviously.
No, right? We still have a few before then, yes.
That's going to be fascinating. Their crease.
When we get to Philly, the crease? Yeah.
Because I don't think you love Dan Vladar, even though it was his birthday recently. Was it today or yesterday?
What are we today? We're Wednesday? Yeah, we may get to... Actually,
Dan Vladar is 28 today. That's why I had Philly on the brain.
Monday is the Flyers, but we won't do them probably because we're going to be at the Sabres Alumni Golf Tournament, so it probably
won't
be
next... Oh, sorry. Wrong tournament. Never mind.
Yeah, no, not that one. The alumni one. So we'll do the Flyers on Tuesday. We'll talk about Dan Vladar. But so Vladar's a birthday today. Nice.
28 today. Ivan is 23 and obviously gets special recognition because of his cool name. Sabres Hockey Fest.
Ivan Ivan. I think there's a lot of variations we can go with right
He's making room for Victor. That's all we know. Just to nestle him into his new spot in the forward ranks with Colorado. We want you to sign up for Hockey Fest today. It is the all-ages street hockey tournament in conjunction with Sabres Fan Fest taking place on September 13th. All skill levels are welcome. So visit sabres.com/hockeyfest to sign your team up today. Can't wait for that, even if I can't keep track of the days and the events at which we will be in attendance. I think it's still the Islanders as team of the day. So if you have questions about them, hit us up at Sabres Live, and we'll roll on after the break.